Welcome to Caring for the Future. In this podcast, we ask the big questions to tackle the care sector's most difficult challenges. I am your host, Richard Keyes. As founder and CEO of 2IC Care, I champion the role that a modern solution can play to create better care outcomes. Caring for the Future is a podcast focused on preparing the UK care sector for the analog to digital transition and beyond. So far, we've covered a range of topics from building a digital strategy to future-proofing your service. In each episode, I speak to an expert in their field to tackle difficult questions head-on. Today's episode is a special episode. With iTech around the corner, we're going straight to the source and finding out what's new at the iTech 2023 to help exhibitors and attendees to prepare for the big event. So with that said, I'm pleased to introduce my guest, Nathan Downing. Nathan, thanks for joining me. Why don't you tell us a little bit more about your background?
Thanks, Richard. Thanks for having me along. Really good to be part of your podcast series to hopefully share plenty of views with people out there about how they can better utilize, I guess, enabling technology as part of their service delivery, delivering better outcomes. iTech is definitely just around the corner. My role in TSA, so I'm Director of Membership, Consultancy and Workforce Services. So a great combination of things there about helping people to deliver things in a far better manner. My background, I've been around in the tech sector maybe almost 20 years, worked with the Department of Health in the Care Services Efficiency Programme, and maybe worked for 60 to 70 local authorities, helping them to understand where best to position technology as part of their care and support offer.
I'm afraid Nathan couldn't join us in the studio today, so you might hear a few erroneous noises, and apologise for that. Anyway, let's move on. Let's get to today's discussion and what's new at iTech 2023. I'm pleased to say 2IC Care will be exhibiting at iTech, and you can come and meet the team at Stand 39 on the 27th and 28th of March to learn more about our fully interoperable care solution, Andy.
Andy, by 2IC Care, is the digital solution that uses interoperability and insights to bring telecare and telehealth together. Andy is the essential companion to a tech-enabled care team and allows service users to live independent and exciting lives at home and on the go.
So Nathan, to kick us off, could you share the TSA's hopes for iTech 2023? Why do you host it each year, and what value do you aim to bring to the market?
The iTech conference has been around in various guises for about 20 years. This year, the theme of the event is unlocking personalized outcomes. It's very much about how do we utilize enabling technology and services to better improve outcomes for people. Yes, there's a huge amount of technology involved, but really it's about the enablement and across care, health and housing that we'd like to help people bring an open mind to the conference, try to understand what they'd like to get out of the sessions in terms of the different content, accessing different sessions across different theatres. Most importantly, why we put it on each year? iTech is about connectivity. It's about people connecting with each other across commissioners, service providers, care providers, those that provide solutions, all coming together to understand how could they best work together to deliver those better outcomes. The value we see in iTech, well, first of all, we have a mixed approach. We have maybe three quarters of those exhibiting do so on a regular basis. About a quarter of the exhibitors this year are new to the iTech conference. All of them trying to learn how can they talk the right language, how can they meet the challenges of people coming to see them, and not just to give them demonstrations of solutions, but aiming to help the wider tech market really think about their position in supporting the very people out there in society across all ages and all different conditions, helping them to live more fulfilled lives, helping them to be able to deliver what they want to do in their own daily lives, as I said, with enabling technology at the heart of it.
So Nathan, now that we're a year in since our last event, the one thing we have found when we're talking to people, there's a huge range of understanding of what the analog to digital can provide, and a huge range of understanding between, some local authorities and others. And that's one of our biggest challenges. And is that something that you try and overcome at iTech to bring to bring the people who haven't done their level of in-depth study on digitization, etc., and those that are streets ahead and have done trials and things and really understand the value.
Yeah, I totally agree with you, Richard. I think that the value of the iTech conference is that you do have a variety of mixed approaches, as you said, of people that are where they are on their analog to digital journey. You have those that may well be able to share with others the learning that they've gone through, and equally those that are newer at the start of their journey that are looking for some of the answers. So across the 2 days of conference, you do have a range of content across, as I said, three different guises within the conference. You have the plenary, which is where we have strategic thinkers, leadership across local government, NHS, understanding the challenges at a high level of integration, interoperability, and some of the more technical challenges. We have within the innovation stage, learning from others. What has people done, right or wrong? How have they learned from things? How do we understand where to take services forward enabled by technology? And how do we see analog to digital as an opportunity to do far more and offer far more to people, and not just see it as a challenge from a technical perspective? And then thirdly, across the knowledge and networking sessions over the 2 days, the chance to have a more informal discussion amongst peers around topics such as informal carers and how people find solutions to support their loved ones. How do we better support learning disabilities and autism services to embrace technology as part of that support and not be afraid of it or see it as a barrier to offering people independence and choice? And also looking at how do you help organisations, whether you be suppliers, whether you be service providers, or whether you be those in the care sector, understand how do you market and message what technology can do for people. I think there's far too much discussion around technology itself rather than what it can do for people. So again, back to the theme, unlocking personalized outcomes. What we'd see is that people use the opportunity to understand what analog to digital means for them, but how does it exactly open those outcomes for people, and not just focus on the technical discussion.
Yeah, that's a really good point. I must confess, I sat in some of the sessions last year, and listening to people around me was equally interesting. Just to hear that so many people are really bamboozled at the moment. You know, if we're talking about AI or interoperability, this sort of topic is just, you know, without being rude to, you know, some people, that's just, you know, mumbo jumbo. It's not something. So almost you need some sessions for people who are, you know, non-technical and right at the start of their journey, and more sophisticated, you know, areas for those that are well in advance. It's a really difficult one to crack.
I totally agree. I think, again, that's exactly what we should be looking for people to engage with at iTech. For those that have cracked some of those technical issues, or indeed have looked at what they want to do with their platforms or their devices, or indeed those that have commissioned a new service that is well on its way to being fully digital, it's how can they share their experiences with those that are at the starting point. You know, a lot of the language that you mentioned at iTech, and indeed at other events throughout the year, it's having that common language. It's breaking it down into what is it we want to achieve for people. And there's no point talking at a highly technical level, because frankly, no disrespect to commissioners, for example, they will not be experts in the world of you know, the technical gubbins of how different devices talk to different devices. But they will definitely understand how do they best want to support people they're commissioning services for. So you'll hear a lot at iTech this year, clearly, yes, around partnerships, collaboration, but you'll hear a lot of talk around co-production. Rightly so, how do we better engage with those that receive services to have their say and their voices heard in how they want services delivered to them? People do want a life and not a service. So they want to be able to do what they want to do in everyday life. It could be going to the shops. It could be going to bowling. It could be making a cup of tea. All these things can be enabled by technology in different ways. But how do we talk that language rather than how many of these do we want to install, or how do we technically get things to talk in, I don't know, Bluetooth versus Wi-Fi, et cetera. You know, the whole point of TSA's role in iTech, because it's the iTech conference that happens to be run by TSA. It's very much all of us as a collective coming together to understand how best to support each other. But our job is to launch guidance. So at iTech this year, And we will be launching a series of pieces of guidance and papers, two in particular that stand out. One around interoperability of devices talking to alarm receiving centres that has more of a technical language behind it. The other one being guidance around how to deliver and commission proactive and preventative services and use data and insights to get to people ahead of crisis. These things will be themes that run through those 2 days and beyond.
That's really interesting. It is a massive challenge. One of our, I won't say bugbears is probably the wrong word, Nathan, but, you know, is to get people, and I know it's been brought up before, is to get people to think about the opportunity of the analog to digital transition. And some of the stories get sort of technical, but it just seems a massively lost opportunity if people just replace their old analog systems designed in the late 80s and early 90s into a digital solution. It's just more expensive.
I couldn't agree more. I mean, the analog to digital shift is definitely not a replacement of light-for-light technology. And for me, the biggest element of that is nothing to do with the technical challenge, the need to move to digital because of, you know, the telephony in this country. It's because when we start to look at, if I can call it, the consumer demand that's coming forward, you know, people that require support, their loved ones, their families, their networks, they want a better offer, frankly, from enabling technology. They're used to using, through COVID, they've used a lot of devices around video enabling, you know, calls to family all over the world. They've used more and more smartphones. They're quite comfortable using those devices. Now, that's not to say those devices will be perfect for the safety critical world, you know, reacting to crisis, etc. But if that's where the consumer demand's taking us, we need to embrace that. So for me, analog to digital is the opportunity that digital solutions and services, the wraparound services being the most important, how they can provide a better experience for people to connect with others, to share their information with others, to be able to be supported both in terms of crisis and emergency, but also being proactively supported to access the community in a better manner, to know what's outside their front door, to be signposted into things rather than necessarily to have to wait until they engage with formal state delivered services. And I think people need to see that A to D, if you want to call it that, as very much an opportunity as well as the challenge. But certainly no one organization can do it on their own. Whether you supply solutions, whether you commission services, whether you are a service provider, working in partnership to deliver that is exactly what's needed. It is that networking that's needed. And iTech, that's where we want people to challenge each other. We'd like people to come to IC Care and others and challenge you, tell you what they're trying to achieve and ask you, how can you help us to achieve that? Not necessarily what technology you've got, but how does your data tell us the right story of where we need to intervene, but also where we're safe to take a step back?
Yeah, that's interesting. That's exactly what we're finding as well. Actually, a lot of the people don't really want to hear about the technology. They're far more interested at this stage in just getting good old-fashioned guidance of what do I need to worry about? You know, what are my big, you know, should I be worried about resilience? Should I be worried about SIM cards or data or what have you? A lot of them are just wanting sort of just generic guidance about what are the big ticket items, because a lot of people are worried about things that aren't really the big deal. You know, they've got to focus because they don't understand the whole thing, and they hear that resilience or battery backups seem to be the big issue. In reality, it is an issue, of course, but it's not the first thing they should be concerned about.
No, not at all. I think you said it spot on in terms of being worried about things. For me, all of those things need to be considered and thought about, but that's part of taking a step back and creating a proper plan, a plan that is set against a set of milestones, set of timelines. There's no need to rush into these things, but plan it effectively. And that planning does need to happen now, or indeed, if you haven't started yet, yes, you do need to move on it. You know, the analog digital shift is happening now. It's not the end of 2025. It is happening right now, but you need to plan effectively. And that equally means understanding what the market can provide, challenging the market, understanding what services you want to deliver. So it is about the problem, the solution, the impact. Not thinking, crikey, everything is a problem, what do we do first? The whole point of obviously our existence at TSA, and indeed those that provide services and solutions like yourselves, is to give people that guidance, to help people to make those decisions. Obviously, our job is to be fully independent and provide a really clear picture of what needs to be done, the steps that need to be taken. And for some people, that means helping them in a far more detail to know to how to go from A to B. For others, it's giving them guidance saying, actually, here's organisations that are just like you. Maybe you can go and talk to those organisations.
Would you go as far as offering people a template, you know, almost, I don't like to use this word because it is technical, you know, a digital strategy, and say, you know, a lot of people know that they need a digital, or no, they're told they need a digital strategy, but they don't know why, and they don't know what they get from it, and they wouldn't know how to create one even if they, you know, if they wanted one. So do you go that far into offering sort of templates that you'd say, look, if you can fill in all of these, then you've got yourself a digital strategy?
Yeah, I guess whether you call it guidance, templates, whatever documents. So TSA do produce on a regular basis guidance, application guidance. We provide checklists. Most importantly for people to understand, and this will be made again quite clear at ITEC, this isn't just TSA doing things on their own. All of our members have the opportunity to engage, and we're grateful for the amount of effort and time put in by a lot of our members when we create special interest groups to then work on what are the guidance that's needed, what are the tools that people need to help them, whether it be analog to digital, whether it be looking at delivering more proactive services, whether it be looking about how do you make a more effective mobile responder service and work with ambulance services, for example. All of those are available across you know, the wider public, not just the TSA membership. They are sitting there on our website. So things like the Commissioner Buyer Guidance that was launched in November 2021, but is updated on a regular basis, does give people those that step process, those checklists of these are the things you need to follow through, including how you should be trying to commission things, what you should be putting in your specification that's both from a technical nature, but also from a service or functional nature. So the most important thing is if people do want more advice, that's where, you know, that's what we're there for people to come to us and for us to be able to share with them some of those tools, and also to point them to people like 2IC Care and other organizations to say, actually go and challenge them. I think that's a crucial point. Listen to the talks at ITEC, understand what people are saying. But if I can say anything, the call to action for people from ITEC as they go back to their day jobs and they go to the various calls they'll have on Teams and other channels going forward is, how do you think you're going to make an impact back in your job? But hopefully you'll then come back to ITEC in 2024 knowing that we've given you that challenge, and now you're going to come back and challenge us to say, okay, what next?
Yeah, that is interesting, isn't it? You brought up the NHS and ambulances and things. Now, the ICSs or ICBs have recently been set up formally, and a bit like we're finding within the care sector, some of them are way more advanced in their planning and things than others. What's your, you know, I found it quite disappointing that there isn't more interaction between the care sector and the health sector. Are you involved in that sort of work too?
Yeah, certainly. I mean, TSA are working across the NHS, local government, and indeed the housing provider network. I do take your point. You know, it's a huge challenge. I think we need to be clear that, you know, the setting up of integrated care systems and the ICBs and the various different levels that they have in place is a huge undertaking. It's not simple to move to 42 ICSs in England. For me, the most important thing is how each of them can have a stronger local authority or social care voice. As you rightly said, the very people that they support, if you think about the actual patients, service users, tenants, residents, etc., very few people will have just a health issue and not a social care issue. Very few will be thinking about one specific area and not another. So for me, it has to be a collaborative approach. It has to be integrated by the very nature of the integrated care boards. But yes, you're right. We do need a stronger voice for social care and housing in particular. It is coming, as some ICSs are more geared up for that than others. But I do think over time, as the Department of Health and Social Care pushes out more around the Digital Transformation Fund, or indeed we look at the discharge funding that came through from government, it's how do people utilise that funding to deliver impact and results that rather than saying lots of pilots, how do we start to move to the terminology around test and learn so that we're rolling things out as we realise that this can be embedded in services? I think that's where we're all waiting to see how they develop. Unfortunately, we do have the strange nature of, you know, financial years and therefore needing to spend money by a certain time of the year. How do we all help organisations, particularly when they come to ITEC, to find things, but also find the support you can offer? If they come to see you at 2IC Care, how do they ask you not only about the solutions you can provide, but also about the support you can provide as they look to implement things? That is crucial for me. It can't be a case of we've found a device, but now we don't know what to do with it. It has to be led by, here's our problem, how can you help us solve it?
Yeah, absolutely. And as you know, Nathan, we don't provide devices, and it fits very well into our model. It's about what are you trying to monitor, and what are you trying to measure, and then go and find the appropriate device for it, which all comes into personalization. So no, that's very nice of you to set me up like that. So Nathan, concluding, what do you think people should do if they're about to attend ITEC, and what they do to prepare to get the most out of the event?
I think prepare is definitely the right word. When you go to a 2-day conference like ITEC, and particularly for those that are also joining the gala dinner and hopefully celebrating the success of the ITEC Awards, and for those that have been nominated and shortlisted, it very much is have a look at the program. So if you go to www.itechconf.org.uk, you can see the full program across the different themes, the different areas. Plan that out, as a lot of the content does overlap, so people have a choice. A lot of the content is in the main exhibition hall, so you're able to move from seeing people on different stands, coming, visiting, and having time spent with different suppliers, looking at innovation stage, then going up on the balconies to see the knowledge and networking session. So plan that effectively. The other element is crucial for ITEC is to be able to download the ITEC app, which is available at the Apple Store and Google Play, if I'm getting my terminology correct, so that on there you can see everything, you can see all the program, but you can also match make. So you can look up some of the keywords that have been offered and say what you want to get most out of ITEC, and then see who's then matched with you. You can book one-to-one sessions and meetings through those. And obviously from a TSA perspective, you can come and find us. We will be pretty obvious to see with our big TSA badges on. So yes, definitely preparation is key. Make the most of it, plan and to listen to those talks, and then plan time to probably to then have a look around. Make the most of the exhibition. It isn't just a case, as I said, of demonstrations. It's very much about really grilling, if want of a better word, understanding, challenging those to say, what is it you can provide for us in terms of services as well as solutions?
Well, Nathan, that's great, because I've just learned something new myself about being able to search for capabilities. So thank you for that. And thank you very much for joining us. I think that concludes our session. And I'd like to thank everyone for joining this episode of Caring for the Future. We hope to catch you up at another time, and have a great week.